How many of you set goals for 2017? Just a raise of hands. That's good. So that's good. Is anybody planning to set goals for 2017? So goals are an important part of our life. They help us to kind of look back and reflect on where we've been and where we want to go. And if we set goals, then we can establish the steps we need to reach those goals. Now, some may set very lofty goals, and every year they're going to set that goal again and again, and it's so hard to hit that. I've done that. We've all have lofty goals. One of my goals this year is to learn biblical Greek. So I'm studying ancient Greek, and I don't know if I will get that done in a year, but that is one of my goals this year. Cindy and I are planning some time to sit down and think about our goals to get, you know, where we want to go in the future. And so these are all important things in order to track forward and move forward in life. I've been, you know, back and forth on the goal setting thing personally for several years. And the reason for that is, you know, I think about God's direction. I'm always concerned that if I'm too rigid or if I set too narrow of a path, I'm going to miss out on what God's goals are and what He would have me do. Anybody with me on that? You don't want to be in such a place that God can't move you and take you in His direction. And so that's something we always have to be aware of and careful of, that, okay, this is my goal, but if it's not God's goal, I need to change my priority and follow where God's leading me. Because you can put yourself in a trap. Well, the other thing that's really important, and this is what I want to talk about specifically today, is setting goals is great, but the question is, how do you define success? What is success in your mind? How do you know you've achieved it? And is it good? Is it good to have that definition of success in your mind? That's what I want to focus in on today as we start to plan this year. Now, many of you know that every year, this is our 5.5 years now doing this, is the Well Church. 4.5, about to hit 5. It seems like 20 years sometimes. 4.5 years, and every January we kind of sit down and say, what are the goals for the church? What's God saying to each of you? And I want to do that again. We're not doing that today. But I want you all to be thinking about some of the, you know, because God speaks through each of you. God communicates with all of us as a body of Christ. And so it's important to be praying about what is God saying to you about the Well. And what is He saying that we should be doing in 2017? It's always important to have an idea of what God is saying, okay? So be praying about that as we go through this message today. If you guys have your Bibles today, would you turn to the book of Luke in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke? And we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 12. This is going to be our main text today. Oh, really? Can you see that little bitty big print?
Dad, stop. I have my magnifying glass.
That thing's tiny. It said large print when we got it, and it's like large for a gnat, maybe. Holy cow. Yeah, if you all would turn to Luke chapter 12. Go easy on the fragrance. You can do the kung fu, man. All right. Everybody at Luke chapter 12. All right. A lot of Jesus, a lot of red letters in that chapter, isn't there? Well, here's what I want to talk about today. All of us probably have an idea of what success is in our mind. And the way we often define it is we look at others, or we look at things on TV, or we look at what the news is saying, or we look at what my brother did or what my friend did. And we say, you know what, I want to do better than that. I want to be that person. I want to do this. I want to meet this goal that I just saw on TV. You know, if I just start going to the gym every week, I'm gonna be Monster Man when I get done. Let me tell you, after a year and a half at the gym, that doesn't work. So it's important that we understand what a real definition of success is, because if we get it wrong, we might find out that we're chasing the wrong things in life. And then when we obtain the success that we think is so good, it gets us absolutely nowhere. And so Jesus had something very important to say about success. And so if y'all would look at, again, Luke chapter 12, and there's a parable I'd like you to read. Would somebody read verses 13 through 21? Okay.
And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.
Thank you, Sandra. That's a pretty important parable to pay attention to. You see, in those days, a person's wealth wasn't measured by how much money you had, because the value of money at that time was in a constant flux. It would go up and down. So money wasn't really the pursuit of people at this time. We talk about the man in this parable. We know in verse 16 it tells us he's a rich man because of not money, the way people measured whether or not you were rich in those days was your possessions. How much stuff did you accumulate? How much stuff did you have? And so, as we learn that this rich man, he was rich because he had lots of ground in this parable with abundant crops. He wasn't rich because of coins, he was rich because of the ground. Okay? It's important to understand. Bless you. There's some clinks over there if you need some. All right. The Bible said that these weren't just crops, but they yielded an abundant harvest. So this man was taken care of, right? You ever been to a farm and just saw so many crops growing that all you saw was horizon? Okay, it's an abundance. Good ground made for good crops. This man had a lot. He was considered wealthy. The rich man wasn't just wealthy, he had more than he knew what to do with. Anybody in that position? If you have that problem, come see me. I'll help you with that. He had more than he knew what to do with. In fact, verse 17 tells us that he was running out of room. So he had to go buy or build another place to put his stuff. They didn't have storage units back then. You had to get a barn or build something to store all your stuff, especially crops. So he decided to build barns to store these possessions. Now, how many of you have gone through life buying a bigger house and a bigger house and a bigger house because you accumulate more stuff? That seems to be how life goes, right? You get more stuff, and so you got to buy a bigger place to store all of your stuff. I heard a joke on TV one time about that. It was pretty funny. And it's the way life works. We're so consumed about our stuff and our wealth and our things that we want to hold on to them tightly. Was this man started thinking about his abundance and his fields and all these things he had in this parable in verse 19, we see that he began talking to himself. Oh, look at me. Look at the good I've done in my life. I've got so much stuff I can just kick back now and take it easy. It's like, no problem. I'm almost there. I've got all of this stuff I've been accumulating for years. And for those of us who have accumulated stuff for years, I'm going to tell you right now, that can be a burden. We have to clean all of this stuff out now at some point. It's not good. Well, he's looking at this. He's about to hit his goal. He set a lifelong goal of accumulating his stuff and becoming rich. Imagine being that guy and some of the conversations he's having with himself right now. Pat himself on the back, look at me. I can kick back, I can take it easy. No more worries in life. Life is set. This is easy street now. I'm almost there. I've got a little bit left to go before I can retire. Just one more harvest, it says, and he'll be done. He'll have enough to retire. There was no doubt in his mind that he succeeded. No doubt. And in his mind, he had done it all himself. Jesus talks a lot about the rich people and the problems they have because wealth leads them away. This is another example of that. He had his barns, his crops, his goods. He had it all. He had reached the top. Reached the top. He couldn't go any further. Had everything he wanted. He was just a few days away from having everything he wanted. Just a few days. You ever get so close to something you can taste it? You've been pushing so hard and driving so hard and you're just this far? That's what it felt like in December when I finished my last class of school. I saw the last 2 weeks like, oh God, please get me through this. It was a great feeling. I can imagine being that close to something that you've been striving for that long in your life. And that's what his goal was, and he was almost there. Let me modernize this parable a little bit. Now, I don't know how many of us in this room have some issues with this, but I did. I personally did. And so this parable kind of hits home for me, and maybe it'll be a way to remind you and encourage you today and let God speak to you about whatever it might be in these parables. Let's call the man in the story Joe. That sounds like a good name to call somebody if we're going to modernize this. Joe's been taught all his life what success is. I was taught at a young age what the definition of success is by my parents, by others, by many people. Joe's been taught that success is measured by your pocketbook. It's measured by your bank account. Measured by your job title. It's measured by a lot of things. From kindergarten, he's been taught the first thing you need to do is get an education to be successful. I remember that being drilled into me over and over again. And I'm going to come back to this because there's nothing wrong with an education. It's important. Bless you. You can't make money and get possessions, is what we're taught, unless you get that education. So he spends his first 20 years, like most of us, earning his education to be successful. That's the first step. Go through that, get it over with. He then gets recruited by a very big firm, a company. And he ends up working his way almost to the top, slaving away, working hard. 30 years into his life, he's sitting in his office, looking out his window, thinks about all he's earned, the blood, sweat, and tears that he's put into this. He's got the cars, the house, all the stuff that defines success. Now, just a few more years and Joe can retire. Man, I'm looking forward to that, by the way. He can sit back, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Just life is good. So what's wrong with him? What's wrong with Joe? Isn't that the very definition of success in our society? Isn't that what we all are told to shoot for and to go after? So what's wrong with them? Joe has gotten everything that everybody, I think, in the world is striving for. I even see people in foreign countries, that's their goal. They see the Americans and they want to be like them.
They're missing one thing that they should be shooting for, which is eternal peace.
I think we all are, right? We all are in a way. And you're right, Roy. If that's an idea of what you're looking for in your life, what Joe is looking for in his life, Roy is dead on. It's not going to bring peace into your life at all. Most of my life, this was my definition of success. It's what defined me. It's what made me. I was taught that this is how you do life. If you want to be somebody in life or leave a legacy or be important, these are the things you have to do. This is the definition of success. And I bought into that. I bought into it in a big way. You know why? Part of the reason is because on one place I was told this is success, and another place I was told you'll never make it. You'll fail. Don't ever tell Tim Vanderwater he's going to fail. He will push that boulder up the hill 90 times until it gets there. But that's a mistake, and that's what I learned. For most of my life, I was pursuing this definition of success. Work hard, play hard, party hard. That's what life was. Get as many toys as I can get. Build a big retirement. And someday I could retire and enjoy my toys and my bank account, right? Isn't that what life's about? Everybody would look at me and say, wow, that guy was successful. He was awesome. He did something great with his life. One day, they could walk by my coffin and say, wow, he was successful. Is that what you want to be remembered by? The way I'm telling this story, some of you may be thinking, wow, Pastor Tim's saying it's wrong to have stuff. Let me tell you something. It's not wrong necessarily to have stuff. That's not the point of this parable. It's not wrong to have an education. In fact, I think we should be learning our whole lives. Education is so important. It's not wrong to have a nice house. It's not wrong to have money in the bank. None of those things are necessarily wrong by themselves. All these things are important to live on, to survive with, and to develop. In fact, James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? From above. Coming down from the Father of lights. Every good gift. These are all gifts from God. This house, the education each of us might have gotten so far, whatever jobs we have, whatever money we've been provided, whatever toys we might have, there's nothing wrong with those in Himself. Those are gifts. God gives us everything that we have. That's something that we always should learn, is that this stuff is on loan. It's not yours. It's God's. And when you manage somebody else's stuff, you should probably do it better than you'd manage your own stuff, right? And when you put that into perspective, you might start thinking differently about how you make certain decisions about your stuff in life. God gives us everything. He can take it away too. But there is nothing wrong with these things that God has given us. Those are good things if we get this parable right. Yes, ma'am.
You might get to this, I don't know, but I just wanted to point out in that whole parable about how he's talking about how he has this and he's going to do this, not once in there does he say, let me share with others of lesser need. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the main focus of this parable, is having stuff is not wrong, it's just that you're greedy with it is the problem.
You're right. There's a greed problem here. Absolutely. Let's not let the thought of these possessions take us away from the meaning of this parable, because I want to get to that. It's really important, because we're about to get to the very root of this parable. The root of this parable is that it's wrong for possessions to have us. Do your possessions have you? Do they have your heart? Do they have your focus? That's the question here. Jesus says in verse 15, one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. It's a very important part. Because if that's what we're living for, you've got God telling you right now, that it's wrong. You're missing the point of why he created you. Let's make sure that we get the problem that our friend Joe has and those people in this parable. The problem isn't the possessions, it's the heart. The heart. You've heard me say this a lot of times, that the problems we face as individuals, the problems we face as a nation, the problems we face cannot be changed by legalism. They have to be changed by the heart. And sometimes the only way that's ever going to happen is if Christ does something miraculous in us. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be our counsel, our guide, renews us, restores us, gives us this new birth, this new life. But you have to choose to follow him or just continue to push him aside and pursue the world. All right. Good way to, if you're stubborn, you're going to have a hard time. Their heart is the problem here. They spent their entire life with their heart focused on the wrong things. Focused on the wrong things. That was me, guys. And I'm telling you right now, it got me absolutely nowhere. It turned me into a person that I am ashamed to say I was. Their whole focus in life was one thing: get more stuff. They sold their souls to the god of materialism. I was right there with them. We all probably know people like this today. You may be one. I was one. The purpose of your life is stuff in your bank account. Nothing stands in your way to get more and more. Nothing. And I think that's what I'm ashamed of the most about the way I lived back then. Nothing was going to get in my way. I was set on this, and you weren't getting in my way. I'm ashamed of that today. Family, friends, nothing was going to get in my way. I accepted the world's definition of success. That's what my life was about. And if that's what your life is about, I'm begging you today to seriously think about this parable and the warning that the Son of God gives us right here in the red letter. You may get it all someday, but that doesn't cure our problems. My problems got worse the more I accumulated, the more predators I had coming around me. People trying to get at my stuff, and I became defensive, and you're not touching my stuff. So messed up. So wrong. If this is us, if this is you, you've got a big problem. I'm telling you this because I feel like I can, because I've been through it. And here the Bible is so clear. This is just one parable. Jesus talked about this many times. Verse 20 is where the problem is, and it tells us that we can't escape it. You see, the man in the parable has the problem. Joe, our friend that we brought into the current century, has the problem. And you know what? I think we all might have this problem. Somebody read verse 20.
But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?"
That's a problem for all of us. All this stuff that we're preparing for our good life isn't going to stick around after we're gone. One day all this stuff won't matter anymore. You ever think of that? But I'm going to enjoy it now. One day all that excess will not matter anymore. I know people that have achieved great success by the world's definition. Great success. They pass on, and then you hear little and little and little and less and less and less about that person as time goes on. It doesn't last. One day everything here is going to be gone, guys. One day we will leave this world. Here's a statistic I want to talk to you about, and statistics don't lie. One out of one person will die. One day our soul is going to be standing in the presence of our Lord. One day we're going to stand in front of God Almighty and have to give an account to Him. Tim, what did you do with your life? All that stuff I gave you to use to serve me, what did you do with it? God, I squandered it. I used it for my own selfish gain. I used it to make myself look good. I used it to attract the wrong people into my life. God is not going to judge us according to what we have in this life. He's not going to judge us according to our place in this life. He's going to judge us according to what we have done with our heart. With our heart. That is the thing God is after. We can give, we can be generous, we can do mighty deeds in His name. We can memorize the Bible inside and out. We can sing worship songs in public. We can share His name with people. But if your heart is not in the right place, you're missing the point. That's what it's about, is a relationship reconciling us back to God. It's not about all the outward things. It's not about the possessions. It's not about any of this stuff. What God cares about is this one piece inside of you. Is that, are you allowing Him in and allowing Him to change that? I'm going to tell you right now, there are times in my life I thought I wasn't going to get past something that was not of God. It was one thing or another that was in my heart that was wrong, and I knew it. And until I went before the throne and said, God, remove this from me, I couldn't do it on my own. And as soon as I did that, God stepped in. He wants a relationship with us. We got to allow Him into our heart if we want it to change and get us into the right place. Don't dedicate your life to the god of materialism like these people in this parable did, like Joe did, like I did. I'll tell you right now, that is a false god that will lead you into all kinds of traps. The man in this parable wasted his life. You don't see many times in Scripture where Jesus calls somebody a fool. That was considered a very harsh word, and still is today by many. You fool, is what He said. Jesus said, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? He also said, or what shall a man give in return for his soul? He gained the whole world and lost his soul. Jesus said, you fool. Jesus called me a fool, and He was rightfully so. His whole life was focused on himself. Himself. No room for God. It's all about me. My turn. It's my place in life now. I've been through this, so now it's my turn. It's all about me. When I get my stuff, then I'll talk to you about your stuff. When this life was over, this man found himself before the very person he had ignored.
That's why nowadays, when we set up our goals, of course, there's the financial part so that you can take care of your family, mm-hmm. so that you can take
That's important.
Have time with them, so that you can help your church yep. and all that. But the truth is, you have to divide and say, "This I have this little financial goal here, but then I have this spiritual goal here, and all of the other aspects of
Absolutely.
Your life.
Absolutely, it has to be balanced. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Everything we do, in my opinion, and this is where we, I think sometimes we might go wrong and follow this pursuit. Are you putting Jesus first in everything? That's the question. Are you putting him first? Jesus, where are you taking my family? Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus, where do you want me to go? All those things should be to him first. I mean, the Bible says, seek the kingdom first, and then all these things will be given to you. I take that verse very literally. I find it to be very true that if we seek him first in all things, he will lead us and provide for us in all things. There has to be a balance, though, Nora, absolutely. But I think in that balance, as long as our priorities are right, take the kingdom first, then the rest will balance out pretty well. You see, Jesus was nowhere near me because I didn't want him near me. I'm like, don't touch my stuff, Jesus. The thing about it and what I had to come to realize is this wasn't my stuff. God taught me a very hard lesson and it brought me closer to him over it. I started losing everything. I was in so much debt from some legal lawsuits I got involved in that were horrible. Guys, it's ridiculous amount of money we're talking about that I owed. And I got on my knees and said, what am I doing? I remember praying to God, asking him to forgive me for my selfishness, for my greed, asked him to reveal himself to me. And I told him right then and there, God, you can have everything I have. It's not mine, it's yours. Take it. The one thing I want is for my kids to grow up knowing you. And in the moment I did that, this peace came over me. And I heard this still voice. And because you have done that, I'm going to restore everything in your life. And he did. Not because I wanted it, I didn't, but because I gave it to him. Are you giving your stuff to God? Are you allowing him to take it from you? Because he's got something much greater to give back. Only God can do these things in your life. Only God can heal those wounds in your life. The most important thing in our life has got to be Jesus Christ. When we can mature to that point and recognize how good he is and put him first in all things, are you willing to let him take you where he wants to take you? Because he's got good plans for you, he says. If you would just trust him in all things. Yes, ma'am.
Can I share a short story?
Absolutely.
Okay, so when I was growing up, I had this picture. It was my grandparents, and it's hanging on my piano now. It has autumn trees, kind of in a path went through them. And I always got my picture taken with it. I loved that picture. And so when my parents had passed away and stuff, my dad had told me that he had removed it from the frame and was sending it to me. Because he said, what do you want? And I said, really? The only thing I really want is that picture. Now there was a lot of stuff, okay? I only wanted that picture. So my dad died and my sister said, okay, we're going to have to do this stuff up. I said, what I really want is that picture. Well, she looked for it for years, couldn't find it. And I was like, oh, man, because, you know, like my wedding dress I'd worn my grandmother's, and evidently that had been sent to a cousin. And so I thought, oh, no, my dad got mixed up and sent it. And I was like, you know, shoot, that's the one thing I wanted. So years passed. I go to my sister's house. She lives in this big, beautiful home in Massachusetts. And she's got all of my mom's and dad's stuff because I didn't have it. And there over her fireplace is my picture. And I walked in and I was looking around and I went, hello? And my sister said, yeah, do you like it? And I go, yeah, sort of. And she said, what do you mean? I go, that's the picture. And my sister goes, oh, that's the picture? I mean, I described it, the modern trees with the path. And she said, oh, she goes, you know, that's a lithograph of some guy. And she'd taken in to get it framed, and he was like, oh my gosh, this is like a big deal. And I was like, wow, okay. And she said, well, I can't give it to you now. And part of me is like, oh, why not? But I just said, because she'd spent all this money and now she realized it's worth this much. And I said, okay. So I went home, and so I said, I'm going to go back to the Bible verse. Hold on a minute. I said, Lord, tell my sister to divide the inheritance with me. No, I'm serious. That's what I said. I said, I want
Martha,
my sister,
Martha.
And I want it now. And I was like this with God.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And God said, you know what? Your sister's comforted by it. You don't need it. You have me.
Ooh.
Okay. Whatever. All right. And I had, me and God had to have a thing. And I finally was like, you're right, God. I mean, my sister would walk around the house, you know, and touch them and say, do you remember this? This was mom's. This was, and I'm like, yeah, you know, that was mom. And then she did tell one thing. Remember this was grandma's? And I go, no, grandma gave me that for Christmas. And you have my chicken ceramic thing. And it was hilarious because it's like all these things, like God is going, do you see how she's comforted by all this? You have me. These things are going to mean nothing. And I said, okay, God, you're right. And I finally came to grips with it. And I finally said, you know what? It just doesn't matter. The stuff we have here, if we're not using it for the Lord, or if it causes an abyss between us and God, it needs to go.
Yeah.
And I finally came to that. And there's even stuff in my house, you know, sometimes like the grandkids will break through and I'll be like, guys doing, and then I have to come to grips with it. Okay, am I angry because I don't have that thing anymore, or they're just being careless and ridiculous? They're being careless and ridiculous is one thing. Me not having my stuff can cause a major problem. So 30 years later, okay, knock on my door, it's the FedEx guy with the big box, and I open it up and it's the picture. And she's moved out of her home, and she said, I knew that you would have wanted this back where it belongs and all that. And it's like I got it, and it's like the Lord said, you know, you just got to give this stuff up. When you start looking at that, and it causes this issue, and not everything does, but some things do, then you need to let it go. He bought me. I've got to be sold out to him. And when I got it back, then I felt kind of guilty. Like 30 years later, geez, you know, God, I'm like really sorry. And God and I have had many things like that happen. One time we were in big financial trouble, and I'm praying, and this is when we were young Christians, but I was kind of like, all right, God, you're so big, and you've let us down, and I've had it, and I've never been so disappointed in you in my life, and you've just left us here, and we're going to be in big trouble and stuff like that. And I've done this and prayed, not kind of prayed, but I just told God off. And I went to my mailbox, and there was a check for $15,000 from my grandmother.
Wow.
When you felt sick, like,
ow! Jeez, if I just hung on. And I think that's the lesson is we got to hang on and just sell out. And exactly what you're saying today, got to get your goal. What are those things that trap us? and take us, our eyes off of God and the goals that we've made. If God isn't at the center of it,
right.
You know, what are you going to use it for? I'm very close to getting my master's done. I've got to do a whole summer big thing, and I've got to do 2 big research projects. And I'm tired. I'm like, I got out of it what I needed for teaching. But now I'm in this, Lord, is this something I really need to spend my time in? But I'm this close, and so I'm waiting for my get up and go from God to finish it. But it's the kind of thing, like, you can be doing it to be lofty, or what is it you're trying to do? You're trying to go back and learn the ancient Greek so you can better understand what that word is saying, because in the English, we don't get the whole thing.
Right.
It's very deep when you go into the Greek and the Hebrew. And so, and not that everything has to be, but I think you just have to look at what, like with me, that dumb picture. I, it's been a long time, I was very upset with God, why he would shove that in my face over the fireplace. But I was like, you know what? I needed to give it up.
Yeah.
My sister and her sin, but I needed to give it up. And then it comes back, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's crazy, but I just learned when you're doing all the thing, I'm giving my inheritance. Yeah. What is our inheritance? It's up there.
That's right.
He already gave it to us. We got saved, redeemed.
That's right. That's we inherited an awful lot that we don't even realize.
I know this is the parable of the rich fool, but for me, I'm the poor fool. And
but you know what, Laura? In other countries, you are filthy rich.
Oh, I know.
It's amazing.
Trust me, you are.
That's what I was gonna say. Is the stuff, like, for me, it's not necessarily like things, but it's, I hold like my family.
Mm-hmm.
There, instead of allowing God to do what He. I mean, you know my circumstances, and some of the people here do, and the way that I hold on to them for my comfort and my benefit, that's not, I mean, it's up to God what He wants to do, and if I don't trust in Him and allow Him to make the choices that He knows are for everyone's, my kids are in His highest good. He wants the best for them. So sometimes there's things that you hold on to, even if you're not rich, that you just hold on to that really, like you said, you just need to let it go.
And sometimes dealing with people and people situations, people that need change, that's the hardest.
That's hard.
That's the hardest part about trusting God. But the thing is, you got to keep on, because there's an end here with that. God's going to do it, but it's hard when you're dealing with people.
So I think these are all awesome points, and I loved your story, Mary. That was great. This doesn't have to be stuff. The whole point is, where's your heart? Wherever your heart is, that's where you're focused. Wherever your heart is. If it's stuff, if it's a relationship, if it's an addiction, if it's whatever it is, if it's not right with God, that's what the point of the story is. Get your heart focused on God. I wanted to get the video that I've talked about before from Francis Chan. He has this incredible illustration. I've shared it verbally with you guys what this illustration is. He gets this rope that's very, very long. It's like 50 feet long. And he explains that this rope, imagine from here like all the way to that corner back there, I'm holding a rope. And on a quarter inch of the end of that rope, he has a piece of tape. He says that tape represents our life here on earth. The rest of this rope is eternity. Why do we spend so much time focusing on this little piece of tape and no time on all of this? He's so true. That is such a good truth to listen. Yeah. Right. And we focus on that one grain. It's a maturity thing. It takes time to mature in this walk as a Christian. It doesn't happen overnight. But the more you start to turn things over to God, say, God, take this, it's bad for me. Take it out of my life. The more you start to do that, the more you see how good God's plan is. And the easier it becomes to trust Him with these things. For a lot of us, it is a trust thing. I've been burned by too many people in my life. I've got this trust wall that goes up, and you're not getting through it. And we see God that way. And I'm telling you right now, God is not man. God does not let you down. God does not lie. God is good in all possible ways good can be. We are sinful. We're going to fail. We're going to fall. We're going to fall short. I've said this many times. Romans tells us very clearly we have all fallen short. All have sinned. God is the one thing in this world you can really sink your teeth into and trust. You can trust. And He's saying, my ways are not your ways, but my ways are perfect ways. Let's learn to get our hearts in the right direction as we start to plan whatever we're going to plan for this year. If you're not praying about it, you should be. God, what are your goals for me this year? What are some things I can do to serve you better? What are some things I can do that you've built me and developed me to do? To worship and glorify and honor you. I pray that all the time. Where next, God? What would you have me do? That's a good prayer, Roy. And when you pray that, be willing to hear what He has to say. It's important. Because He's going to say it to you. He's going to give you opportunity. You know, it doesn't have to be some glorified mission trip out into some third world country. It doesn't have to be anything big. God could use you right where you're at to do whatever He chooses to do. I feel like I've been called to be a pastor in this community. That I don't have to go on some far-off mission trips, although I was called to go to Africa this past summer. Excuse me. I think there was a lot of growth I got from that. And I saw a lot of people come to Christ, and it was awesome. But God's put in my heart this community for some reason.
It's because there's so many churches around here that claim to be community-centered, and they're not.
Right. That may be why. I don't know. I just you ever get that feeling when you know God is calling you to do something specific?
It's because of all the people that are here. Because me being here from day one, I've gotten to know each and every one of you personally, and I feel like y'all need to be here, not somewhere else. I feel like y'all need to be here. Because I've benefited from the relationships as well.
Well, that's what community does, yeah. Right? That's what God does in communities. He brings people together. I've seen the most incredible connections form around here through what God is doing. So wherever you're called, guys, just be willing to step out. Be willing to let Him guide your steps and set your goals. If your goal is similar to what I described as the world's goals in definition of success, you're going down the wrong path. God will provide what you need. I'm not saying you just sit back and wait for a handout. The Bible's pretty clear that we're taught to use our gifts to serve Him and to work. It says, whatever you do, do it all as though you're serving the Lord. Well, what I'm saying is we don't have to kill ourselves and pursue these things to get us nowhere. Sorry, I'm so drunk. Here's another important truth that I want you all to get, and I'm about to wrap this up. When God calls you to do something, He provides. He provides. You just have to be willing to step out in faith, and He will show the way. How many times have we seen that here? How many times? God has provided for every ministry we've gone out and done, right? Right? We started this church. God provided everything we needed. There's just so many times. When I go on my trips around the country with my job, I use that as a time for ministry. Yeah, I do my job, but there's a time where God would have me do certain things in certain places. I get to pray for revival all over this country. It's awesome. I get to witness to people that I never would have been able to witness to. And every time I have prayed and I knew God was taking me somewhere and there was a need, He provided it every single time. Let God be the one to lead you. If your heart is on these things that don't last, I'm going to encourage you. Set your heart on Christ. I don't know anybody that's ever regretted that. It is not something you will ever regret. I regret where my heart was before, and I'm ashamed of it. So let me go ahead and close this in prayer.